Yeah, there's no worries with toss with anybody. There's no worries. I mean, we've built a team here to for exactly moments like this and competitions like these where we have 1 through 25, 1 through 30. We're not worried about who steps on the field and they can do a job.
10 training thoughts on TFC Pitchside with Michael Leach.
Smooth start there from producer Emil. This is TFC Pitchside. This is your 10 training thoughts. I am Michael Leach of 680 News. I'm joined today by Joshua Cloak of The Athletic. And both of us have been on the TFC beat for some time, hanging out around the Kia training grounds, the vast expanses of the Kia training grounds. Barren
at times with planes going overhead often.
Yeah, nothing really screws up trying to get audio.
Yeah.
Better than a C-Series jet taking off. You know, Vanny will be saying something incredibly profound, as he's wont to do. Greg Vanny is a tremendous with the media. I always enjoy hearing what he has to say. And then you get to a particularly insightful part and
right.
All right. We're halfway there. We're halfway between the conference semifinal. That craziness that went down with the New York Red Bulls, I still sit here. I don't recall seeing things that I saw that night. It was such a strange, I'll say from my perspective, the teams came out after halftime, and I had no idea that Josie wasn't there. I had no idea that Sasha wasn't there. I'm just paying attention, but I never really look around to see who's there and who's not.
No, right, but right away you didn't get the sense that they were playing 10 men. They just, you know, things got started and you had to take a second and say, wait a sec, where's Josie? Where's Sasha? What? And there was a brief bit of panic. And then you know, if you've got Twitter in front of you, as most of us do, you figure it out. But that's the thing too, like right away from the start, from the start of the second half, the whole thing looked off. And I think a lot of people in the press box were just really sweating out the 45 minutes, not because you have a rooting interest, but because what is going to happen here? Anything could happen there. And we saw that with the goal on Bono. Again, there was a few people just kind of gasped because you're like, wait, did that go in? A lot. You had to blink quite often throughout there and that second half and say, wait, what happened here again?
Well, I mean, a little insider, you know, I'm sitting in the press box and everybody's got their computers and something had happened just before the goal goes in, and I'm writing a tweet, and then I have the TV broadcast going on my iPad so I can hear the commentary, and I look up, and the ball's in the back of the net, and you hear the crowd gasp. What just happened? Bono thought that it went off of Drew. It actually, BWP was so well screened out by Drew that Bono thought it had gone off of his defender. In fact, it was Bradley Wright Phillips' 100th goal in a New York Red Bulls uniform. Cold comfort, I'm sure, for him that his season is over. But now for TFC, moving on, the Columbus Crew comes in, and the team, I have to say, normally I would not care for this international break, but I think with the emotions and just how heated that series was with the Red Bulls, I think this team needed a couple of days to step back, let the emotions cool down. We're still waiting to find out what happens with Josie and the appeal with the league. I think having the extra week off is good for the team to cool it down, look at what happened in that series, and look at some of the maybe emotional things that they let get to them that they cannot allow to get to them going forward. And now, as we move into the week before the game, now they start to look at the Columbus Crew. But we're talking about training here, and we do have audio from training. Monday, Greg Vanney talking to the media, and he spoke for a good 15 minutes, and it was clear that what had happened the night before had still gotten under, it was still under his skin.
Sure.
He was still fuming about it. He even mentioned it. He said, I'm still annoyed by what happened last night. He took maybe a little bit of a veiled shot at the Red Bulls, saying that Columbus presents a different matchup for TFC because they'll play soccer and they'll push TFC in different ways.
Right.
So there was a little bit of a shot there. As far as the Josie situation and as far as everything that happened in the tunnel last Sunday, Greg Vanney saying that everything's now in the hands of the league and his job is to deal with the team and the issues on the pitch.
My position is that it's in the hands of the league now, and we are giving them as much information as we have, and I think everybody's account that was in the area, and it will go from there. Aside from that, I think the events of the first half escalated into a lot, an emotional game, even boiled over in emotions, and it didn't need to, and I think there are varying reasons for that. It's other people's opinion. I've watched the first half back several times in a lot of scenarios in the game, and I think it got to a situation, including the fourth official running onto the field before the half was done to get between Josie and another player where there was nothing there. There was absolutely nothing there. And he managed to go get up in Josie's space and escort him off the field, essentially, when there was absolutely nothing there and the half hadn't been blown yet. I don't understand what that is, but to me that escalates a situation that isn't a situation before that even transpires. So I think there were multiple scenarios in the first half that led to things getting to where they didn't need to be. For us, we need to try to control our emotions the best as possible. I think that goes with just even the discussions on the field when there are fouls and having discussions. We need to let those things go and move on, for sure.
I think Greg's right here in that, like, if you're TFC and you have the fourth official coming onto the field, which was very strange, and he gets between Josie and Michael gets in there as well. So right away you're saying, why are you picking on us, but why are you trying to make a mountain out of a molehill here? Like, what happened here to necessitate that? So already, just going into the tunnel, your back's up against the wall. And then the footage that I've seen from the tunnel, TFC's biggest argument, I think it was Bradley, or maybe it was Vanney shouting in a very high-pitched voice, why are you here? So there's two occurrences there where TFC feels wronged by either the officiating or by the other team. So I can understand Vanny's frustration moving forward and that kind of thing. You know, we know that even though he's a pretty composed guy with us, we have seen him be emotional previous. So I can understand why those emotions would stay with you, you know, 24 hours later. It's a tough thing to shake off because, yeah, you feel wronged and you feel like what happened on the pitch was out of your control. So not surprising that they gave up the goal and not surprising that this kind of thing would stay with Vanney, right?
You know, further to that, I think you're absolutely right. I think, and Vanney alluded to it, and Nick Haglund alluded to it, and Justin Morrow on Monday, less than 24 hours after the incident, they knew Jesse Marsh's plan. They knew the tactic was to get under their skin. And I believe it was Justin Morrow who said, if you can't beat us playing soccer, if you can't beat us playing the game the way it's supposed to be played, you'll resort to any other tactics.
Right.
And it's the playoffs. And particularly for a team like New York Red Bulls, who have been in the position that TFC are in right now with the pressure of expectation. And they've consistently failed. They have failed. Their biggest players have not appeared at the times that they've needed them to appear. And New York was in a situation where it's fighting for its life. The playoffs were everything to them this year. They succeeded in getting under TFC's skin. I thought TFC came unglued early in that second half. And I think New York was dictating. I feel Vanney and the players will be very diplomatic about this, and they have been very diplomatic about it, saying this was just a heat of the moment thing. It's competition and we're competing. It's the playoffs. It's a big deal. Everything is amplified.
Right.
I absolutely think that the Red Bulls, in order to try and find that advantage, I don't know that they necessarily wanted a huge brawl like that. I don't think Kleshchen ends up in that area. I honestly believe that the Red Bulls went in there on purpose. I think Sasha went and tried to push Josie into doing something physical. the video will bear it out. And Josie's extremely confident that the video will show that he didn't do anything wrong and that he'll be exonerated and the red card will be overturned.
Well, we're going to talk about this later too, but I think this only highlights the fact that TFC know how important these playoffs are and that they have to prove that they are more than just a strong regular season team. There's a lot of emotions going in right now. And that second half, that game showed that sometimes their emotions can get the best of them. So Greg kind of talks about this, you know, the game itself in this next clip.
To be fair, you can probably tell I'm still annoyed at the game. The two goals that we scored are goals. They're goals, period. I think the call on Oso was not a foul to begin with, which is what the referee called. He was not offsides, which would have gone to review and been confirmed. And you can see the behavior of the referee when Victor puts it in. He's walking away as if the play has been put back in play. And then once it's in the goal, he actually then turns around and calls it back. So I'm annoyed because, again, the dialogue is not about soccer. The dialogue is about a bunch of other things, and that's irritating. And what is supposed to be our league's sort of spectacle about the sport, and it's become about a lot of other things.
You know, he says that this is a spectacle event, and he's absolutely right. And you want the focus to be on the soccer, and we saw it last year with the Eastern Conference Championship leg two, just how exciting that game was and how much that sort of captured the casual soccer fan or the guy that I don't sit down and watch soccer on the weekend, but this is Toronto and I'm going to sit down and watch this. I mean, I think that the incident that happened last week, it certainly made headlines. It made headlines around the world. You know, it made the highlight shows, but it makes it for the reasons that you don't necessarily want. I think Greg's absolutely right. This was not a great showcase for Toronto FC, the New York Red Bulls, or Major League Soccer.
You have a TFC team here that I believe the league can sell, and I believe the league can, you know, sell it as a product to fans outside of North America, because you have players on this team that could be performing in other leagues, and I think this is a team that plays a style of soccer that is attractive to people outside of North America as well. At what point do they stop and say, the refereeing, the quality of the refereeing in this league is hurting us to the point that this is the number one reason why people think this league is a substandard league? It's not the players anymore. It's not the fact that they're bringing in players that are over the hill. You have quality here that I think can compete in a lot of other leagues around the world, but it's the refereeing. And if the refereeing is the point of conversation afterwards, and it continues to be, I'm not saying anything new here. You know, the refereeing is bad and continues to be questionable. Yeah. You know, at what point do they stop and say, this is the number one problem we need to address in order to sell this league beyond the fans that we already have?
Yeah, and I mean, the hope is that VAR will deal with this.
But where was it?
Where was it? The goals that were disallowed, I don't understand why they don't go to VAR, because that's one of the four game-changing scenarios.
Victor Vasquez,
anything that goes into the back of the net should be reviewable.
Victor Vasquez says to me after the game, he's like, the referee came to apologize to me for allowing him to take the kick. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know, like you have to have a standard that you hold, not just you hold yourself accountable, but the kind of standard that other leagues around the world set. The fact that they have to resort to VAR and they have to resort to it a lot, I'm a fan of VAR, but the fact that you keep having to resort to it really makes me question the quality of the refereeing in this league to begin with.
It was an unprecedented night, and for a variety of reasons, and the referee letting the game get out of hand. Justin Morrow talked on Monday about just never being a part of something that out of control almost.
I haven't been through something like that. You know, the team that I played for in San Jose in 2012 was a very physical team, and so we tended to get into these matchups that were physical in nature on the border. I felt like last night, and the whole series in general, was on that border as well. I think that was the Red Bulls' game plan, and you know, I think they played out their game plan effectively in the second leg, but credit goes to us. You know, we did a massive job to get through that last night, and they presented a very tough challenge, and we passed.
They did do that. They did, for as out of sorts and unglued as they came, they survived. And Bradley talked about that after the game on Sunday night. Other teams in our situation, other teams before that have come before us, would have failed, would have fallen apart and ended up losing that game and losing the series. But the TFC found the resolve to survive it. That said, I do think there are some warning signs there that TFC can maybe learn something from, because I feel like the New York Red Bulls might have written the blueprint on how to beat Toronto FC, and it's just push them and needle them and get them off their game. Don't allow them to do what they do. Force their emotions to take over, and they will make mistakes.
That's why I think you're going to see a veteran lineup rolled out in game one. Personally, I was a little surprised we didn't see Nicholas Hassler. And anybody who follows me on Twitter or has read anything I write knows that I'm in Hassler's corner. I think he's a player of immense quality. But I also know that you need a player like Steven Betashore in there, who's been in these ugly, ugly MLS games, these playoff games before. So I think you're going to see a veteran lineup. And with losing Giovinco, okay, and possibly losing Altidore, you're saying, okay, who are they going to bring in? I think we know they're going to bring in Ricketts, but you have to then lean on veterans to bring that kind of composure and calm onto the pitch. Players that won't get rattled if Columbus, you know, resort to these kind of dirty tricks. And we were talking about them before the show. Maybe this is the return of Benoit Cheyrou, because it doesn't seem like anything can faze him. What he doesn't bring in quality that maybe an Osorio brings, he brings in composure and wherewithal and know-how, and he's been in these big games. He's got UEFA Cup experience. Perhaps they lean on him. Yeah, he hasn't played a minute, you know, in over a month, or close to a month. Yeah. So, but I think that's what you really, really have to lean on.
And a guy who has, there was some question about whether he would be a good fit, obviously after the first leg and Drew Moore's injury, was Nick Haglund. And Haglund, we forget, he scored the goal that sent the Eastern Conference Championship last year to extra time. He has experience in these situations. As you say, MLS Cup playoffs, completely different thing. It's kind of a trench battle sort of thing. And Haglund, he talked a little bit on Monday about what the team can take away from that series with New York and moving forward to the series against Columbus.
They kind of wanted it that way, and so I think for us to learn to keep our heads a little bit, but know that we can grind out games. You know, we had it was a tough environment, and 1-0, the goal is kind of a fluky goal, and we knew that we had to grind out that win. So I think we learned a little bit about ourselves, because we hadn't had to do that this year. So I think getting to be able to do that together just pushes us forward in playoffs.
Is Nick Haglund the player that you trust in that situation? I'm a Nick Haglund fan. I think the kind of the athleticism that he brings to the back line, his ability in the air, is unprecedented on this team. You can hear it in Nick's voice very often, just how excitable he gets. Is he the type of player that can really hold down that back line? I don't know.
I think he can. I really do. He came into two very difficult situations over the past two legs.
Sure.
Drew gets hurt at halftime, and all of a sudden the Red Bulls are swarming, because they need to, they've found the gift equalizer out of that penalty that I'm not sure really should have been a penalty.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden they've been thrown a lifeline. We talk about the referees again. They're thrown the lifeline by the referee. They go into halftime. All of a sudden, I thought TFC was much better in that first half of leg one and probably deserved to be up 3 or 4 nil. And they weren't. It's 1-1, and all of a sudden it's a whole new game, and the Red Bulls are pushing and pushing and pushing. I thought Nick was very composed, for lack of a better word. I thought he was, again, his aerial abilities came in handy. He might be a little bit excitable, but I don't have any problem with him slotting in this situation.
I think his quality is probably more of a factor than his ability to calm his own nerves. Yeah, I think what he does on the pitch is obviously very, very important. And he brings an element, he brings a dynamic approach that a Drew Moore maybe doesn't. And I just think that, again, to come back to it, I just think Vanny has to really, just in leg one, err on the side of caution and just go with a lineup that is
Well,
is
you
got to
dance with the ones who brung you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
To your point, I do think that Nick Haglund will be relied upon at some point during. I don't know that he necessarily is starting 11, but he will come into play at some point over the course of this series against Columbus. One guy that wasn't available on Monday, and he actually wasn't at the Kia training ground at all, was Jozy Altidore. He was tending to some personal business that he had ongoing, so he wasn't. He was never supposed to be there on Monday, was what we were told from the club. Jozy was available. He was made available to us on Thursday, and he talked a little bit about the incident that happened on Sunday night. Obviously, he is at the center of this whole controversy. The appeal is still outstanding of the red card that was issued to Jozy at halftime after the melee that happened in the tunnel. And Jozy talked about this was really uncharted waters, what happened on Sunday night for him.
Not something like that. I mean, you always have those scuffles, right, in the game, those little fights, whatever, but nothing like that to where they came to our locker room. Look, they'll be the first ones to tell you, I'm sure they lost their cool a bit. That's what, you know, these games happen in these games sometimes, emotions. And you know, I've played for Jesse as a coach. You know, I've played with Sasha. I know they aren't, you know, terrible guys. And sometimes shit happens, for lack of a better term.
Do you think it gets overturned? I don't.
I don't either.
I haven't seen any footage. I have no intel on this. But if we're going to talk about the quality of refereeing and then to have MLS go back and say, well, you know, actually, we got it wrong. It's just, I just don't see it happening.
What's the phrase that Howard Webb loves to use, re-VAR? It's, there has to be clear and obvious error.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it would take for it to be overturned. It would have to, the security camera, police statements, security statements, everything would have to so unequivocally show that Jozy was provoked. He turned around, he walked away, went straight into the locker room. Like, that's the way it's going to have to be. And I'm not sure that that's the way it went down. Because if someone comes up and chokes him, as he says happened, if Kleshchen does that, he's going to turn around and defend himself. And as he should be able to. But if he did that, I don't see that red card being overturned. I think TFC has to go through leg one without either him or Jovinko. So going to leg one of the Columbus series coming up on the 21st, TFC, without their top offensive weapons,
right,
may want to consider playing a very defensive game. Greg Vanney talked on Thursday about the team is lauded for its offense, but they are maybe a little bit underrated defensively. Justin Morrow finishing second in the Defender of the Year. I think quite rightly to Opara. I have no problem with Opara winning that award. I don't even think that Morrow's the best defender on DFC.
I sometimes even wonder if he is a defender.
Yeah,
the way he plays.
And Vanney mentioned that. He's kind of viewed more as a de facto midfielder, yeah, particularly in the 3-5-2. Vanney talked about the team of defenders that he has.
Well, I think we have a team of good defenders. I mean, first of all, across the back line, all of our guys are very good defenders. And, you know, with Michael in front of them, who is a smart defender, gets into good areas, can break up plays, can read plays. I think, you know, from that standpoint, we have guys who are just good defenders and understand the instincts of defending and what's dangerous and what's not dangerous. And so they've been able to handle that. Obviously, you have to have a goalkeeper who can make saves that is important, and Bones has done that for us, you know, in his minutes. But I think just a collective mentality, which was something when we looked back 2 years ago when we didn't get as far as we wanted to in the playoffs and we went out really early, we said we've got to get stronger defensively. Everybody has to commit to that, and we need a stronger defensive plan. And so, you know, I think everybody on our team recognizes the importance of defending, And I think we just have a good group of defenders who, you know, when put up and into difficult situations, make right decisions the vast, vast majority of the time.
To me, this speaks to a game plan. I think Greg and TFC, they would never admit it, but I think they're looking for a really ugly 0-0 draw in leg one. I wouldn't be surprised to see him roll out four in the back. Again, I wouldn't be surprised to see him make Betashore a true defender in this situation, because if you know that you're missing your weapons, and if you're kind of prepping the narrative in that, well, we know we're a team of defenders, and look, they are. You notice how much better Michael Bradley has looked this season in a more defensive role, as much more of a holding midfielder. I think that's going to be the game plan. And I think that's kind of the TFC that we need to see, is a team that can really lock it down. We know they can score 4, 5 even at will.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, they won 2 out of 3 against Columbus this year. And one of them was a blowout, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and that was without Jovinko and Altidore.
So why don't you show us, and Vanny's MO is not to show us anything, but that's probably the TFC that you need to show, or that's probably the TFC they need to prove to themselves, is let's really lock down a game here. Because throughout that second half in the second leg, it looked like it could all go wrong very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So don't they need to just say, and this is a lot on players like Michael Bradley and Drew Moore, just say, let's just lock this game down. Let's be in control from kickoff. Let's not allow any errors. Let's focus on our man marking here, because that's what's really looked poor to me throughout this last stretch of 5, 6, 7 games. So I think that's where we're going to see a really unattractive team. But if you can get out of there and hold Columbus to a clean sheet, even if you don't score, that's good.
That's fine, yeah. And listen, I think Eric Zavaleta has taken his game this season to another level, to the point that it has pushed Nick Haglund out of the starting 11. And we can't say enough about Alex Bono and what he's done, because he becomes another defender. And the way that he came out on Wright Phillips, made himself big. Rather than staying back on his line, he comes out, makes himself big, and really didn't give BWP much to shoot at. Well, what are your thoughts on TFC's back line and how important it's going to be in the Columbus series?
You rarely notice Eric Zavaleta, and that's a good thing. You don't notice any egregious errors. You don't see him pressing up very far up the pitch. You see him playing a very safe, conservative brand of soccer, and I think you're going to continue to see that. What I also think is you have to allow Alex Bono more opportunity to kind of direct traffic back there, and he's improved this year in terms of his ability to read his back line and direct his back line. So my guess is over the international break, which we're going to talk about next, over this international break, the focus will be how can we improve that communication between goalkeeper, backline, and Michael Bradley, so that we close these gaps, we mark well, and we don't allow players to make runs. Because there was a few opportunities, especially against Atlanta in that last game, where TFC got burned by runs. And I think that's going to be a focus. But let's hear what Greg had to say about the international break.
I think it comes at an okay time for us. It was the last series was obviously very emotional, had a certain sort of look to it. You know, obviously for us getting guys back who were on stretches of injury, things like that. It's we have an international break, and for the first time we have really most of our 99% of our team. I think Armando is the only one away. Mm. But for the first time in years, we've had an international break where we really have everyone here except for Armando, which allows us a little time to put some things together that maybe we wouldn't be able to if we have a lot of guys away. And so I don't think it's a horrible thing. However, you like to stay in the rhythm of playing games, but both teams are going through the same when it comes to that. So we'll use this time to, again, prepare, work on a few things, but also prepare for Columbus and prepare for what's going to be a tough series.
With the Josie situation still hanging in the balance, I think it is a very good thing to have this break, because whether a decision comes down in the next day or two, or whether it's middle of next week, they're going to have hopefully about a week to sort of figure out what they're going to do. And I asked Greg on Thursday about whether he's going to set 2 game plans based on whether Josie is available or not. And he says, like, we're not reinventing our team here. Our team, we're sort of going to do this. We're going to keep the mentality kind of the same, regardless of whether Josie is there or not. It's just going to be small tactical things that would change. But for the most part, they're not looking at a huge change.
Good thing for the team, bad thing for the city and fans of this team.
Because
you know, that kind of emotional, ugly, gritty win, that's the kind of thing that can really galvanize a fan base and bring a team like TFC to the forefront of, you know, mainstream consciousness in the city. So
now you got to wait 2 weeks for a game, and then 3 weeks for a home
international
game.
Oh, I cannot stand this international breaks. They just, you know, they just suck the life out of these playoffs. And TFC are the one benefactors right now because they need all the time they can to sort out their defensive shape. But it really, really comes at a bad time for the team in terms of trying to get more fans and recapture that magic that they had during their MLS Cup run last year. But yeah,
instead of a slow build of emotion,
yeah,
it's a build and then a drop, and then a build and then a drop, and it's tough to get any sort of sustained momentum
right
going forward. We do know that they're going into Columbus on the 21st, and this is a bit of an interesting situation. It's a historic rivalry for Toronto FC, but there are a lot of things going on with that Columbus club, and they're playing with house money at this point because they've already gone further than I think a lot of people expected them to, but they have the possibility of moving to Austin and all of the emotion that brings and the atmosphere in that stadium, in MAPFRE Stadium, coming up next Tuesday night is going to be electric. And Justin Morrow is a guy from Ohio. Both Justin Morrow and Nick Haglund, both from Ohio, both have a lot of experience in that stadium. And Morrow talked on Thursday a little bit about the atmosphere and just everything surrounding that stadium and what TFC is going to be walking into next week.
Apart from the Trillium Cup matches, I haven't had any playoff matches with Columbus Crew. I haven't had any big matches with Columbus Crew, so I'm looking forward to it. You know, I grew up playing in that stadium. I won two state championships in that stadium, and I've played important matches there before, so I know what it's like to play there at this time of the year, and it's exciting. I know the energy around their club will be big. It'll be exciting for them. They have a lot of stuff going on with the club right now, so they'll rally around that, and I expect a great series with great fans.
This only highlights the need to lock it down and play a safe, boring style right away, because the Crew are going to come out with that energy of a fan base knowing that this could be the last game in Columbus.
For this season. They will be there next season, yes.
Right, so for the season. So you're coming out with a ton of emotion as well, and you know that you can play on a TFC team that has showcased that emotion. So play boring and really, really try to suck the life out of that stadium as quickly as you can, because there is nothing that galvanizes a fan base like the possibility of losing a team.
Are you suggesting that Greg Vanney might want to take the buses that are going to carry, I think it's about 1,000 away fans. From what I understand, there are about 1,000 people going from or heading from Toronto down to Columbus, and that the away sections are sold out. I don't know whether the rest of the stadium will be sold out, because it wasn't sold out for NYCFC. But I do know, or from what I've heard, the away sections are sold out. Greg Vanney, from what you're suggesting, might want to take those buses and just park them out on the field.
Rope-a-dope a little bit. You know, spend that first half just sucking the life out of the stadium, and then also, you know, throughout that first half, allow a Victor Vasquez to kind of get comfortable figuring out the opposition's back line and trying to envision some spots ahead of time. So get to half 0-0, and doesn't matter. It, you know, make it as ugly as possible. So you allow that time for Victor Vasquez to kind of link up with or get looks with St. Ricketts and say, okay, so in the second half, here's where I've seen them to be vulnerable, because we know that Vasquez is a player that reads the game quicker and better than almost anybody else in MLS. So yeah, park the bus. I can't believe I'm saying this, but do what you have to do to really, really silence that crowd.
The Crew like to play more of a build-up game than New York, than the Red Bulls do. The Red Bulls will try and, I think Vanney said, he's like, on three touches, it can be in the back of your net.
Yeah.
You know, from their goalkeeper. And the Crew don't play that way. They kind of move around. This is going to be more of a chess match, I think, type of series than what we saw with the Red Bulls. And that might play into that. You might want to. I do think that TFC, whether it's trying to do it through their own buildup or whether it's trying to punch the crew on the counter. I do think they need to find an away goal. I think an away goal is important coming home. I don't know that I like the prospect of 0-0. Obviously, you'd take that over a defeat. But I do think that they might want to try and play that very, very defensive style. Greg Vanney talked a little bit on Thursday about what to expect from the crew and how he's approaching them.
I think Columbus has shown under Greg that they have an ability to just rotate players into different positions when they're in possession. They give you different looks. Different guys will show up in different pockets. So they move things around, which changes up your reference point. So you've got to be able to and be prepared to defend in slightly different ways and not get caught up chasing certain guys into certain areas. So we've got to be smart about that. Defensively, I think they do a good job of getting pressure, but they're not going to high press at all expenses everywhere on the field. They're organized. You know, typically they show up defensively in a little bit more of a 4-4-2 that could adjust, obviously, in the next series. But I think they're active defensively, but they're not in an all-out press. So that's a little bit different. And secondly, like I said, they have a lot of different little rotations that they use with their players to slide them in different pockets. So you got to be, you know, prepared for all those different scenarios.
What we do know about that game in Columbus coming up next week, this is an opportunity for Toast St. Ricketts to slot in. And the last time that Toast St. Ricketts played at Matt Frey Stadium, he scored two late goals to push TFC from a 1-0 deficit to a 2-1 win. And Ricketts is talking about being involved in that game and some of the memories that will help him from that game back in May as they now prepare for next week.
I still have the sense of relief. Up to that point when I scored, it wasn't the ideal start for me in terms of numbers and stuff. But to get that goal in Columbus was it was a moment of, you know, going forward in the season for me personally.
I would argue on about half of all MLS rosters, to St. Ricketts is a starting forward.
I would agree.
Maybe more. So, boy, this is one of those good problems to have. Like, again, that's what I have to come back to it. That's why you're going to see Victor and to St. take the first half, because the Saints a fan of these deep, quick runs, but they haven't played together that often this season. So we know earlier in the season he has the ability to put a few goals in the back of the net really quickly. It'll take some time. So I have no issues, no concern about using to St. Ricketts as your sole striker up front moving forward.
Well, what we do know is that Toronto FC will face the Columbus Crew in the Eastern Conference Final starting on Tuesday. So we got another week of training to go through. We get to stand outside in the cold, maybe. They might let us inside this week. I don't know, but it will be fun once the games actually kick off. And that is, again, on Tuesday, November 21st. The return leg at BMO Field, Wednesday, November 29th, kickoff at 7:30. This has been 10 Training Thoughts. I'm Mike Leach, joined by Joshua Cloak of The Athletic. Thanks very much for joining me, Josh.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And this has been 10 Training Thoughts on TFC Pitchside.